Five, four, three, two, one, zero, ignition, liftoff.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Clapp, Director of Content for WorkinSports.com, and this is the Workin' Sports Podcast. It's Friday, the Masters is going on, Villanova won the NCAA championship, and Conor McGregor just attacked a bus of UFC fighters. What a week. Here's the deal. In a few weeks, all that stuff will be old news, but our podcasts aren't. All of my advice and interviews are evergreen, which in the industry means they last. They aren't tied to a specific event or time. They're just as relevant today as the day that they were published. So go back and listen to some old episodes. I've talked about interning and networking and interviewing and tons more. Plus, I've interviewed executives in the NFL, NHL, NBA, MLS, Major League Baseball, college sports, sports education, sports marketing, whatever you're interested in, we've probably covered it. So please go back through the archives, pick something out that seems interesting to you and give it a listen. Trust me, the information and the advice lasts. Learn yourself a little something. If you have a question, email me, podcast@workinsports.com. If you're listening to one of the interviews and say, hey, that was interesting, but could you go into a little bit more depth on it? Great. Ask me that question. We'll handle it in one of these QA sessions moving forward. That's how I got today's question. Ariel from New Jersey emailed me at our podcast@workinsports.com inbox and said, hi, Brian. I really enjoyed your recent podcast episode where you played the best clips from the past 10 interviews. It inspired me to go back and listen to your interview with Sam Doerr. Originally, I skipped that one because I'm not that into soccer, but once I heard him speak in your recap episode, I wanted to hear more. One thing that stood out to me is that he said he could tell during the first 8 to 10 seconds of an interview if the person was going to be worth hiring. This kind of scared me because it takes me a bit to warm up during any interview or first meeting. Question number one, do you think this is true that someone can decide your future with a company in that short of a time period? And question number two, what are some tips you have to help me make a better first impression? Ariel, I love you went back and listened to my interview with Sam. A little insider story. When I first booked Sam as a guest, my first thought to myself was, I wonder how this will play out. I mean, people either love soccer or hate it, and essentially he's working in minor league soccer. Will this be a popular episode? Will this work? Will this resonate with people? And it has. It's been one of our best episodes, I think, and the data pans out too, because I think Sam's advice was honest and straightforward, and he had well-articulated opinions, and he shared his experience, and he worked with the Spurs before, so it wasn't just this one kind of angle, and I think that one was one of those ones that started off slow, that maybe people didn't listen to it right away, but once it started to get a little bit of buzz, it picked up in numbers really fast. Quick side note on that, if you're wondering, because I don't know, I get into the data, I think it's kind of fun sometimes, but and especially those fans that have been listening for a long time. The number one most popular episode we have to date is episode number 39 with sports recruiter Dan Rossetti, who's the president of Prodigy Sports. His episode has, get this, just 5 more downloads than episode 5 with Colleen Scholes, who's the talent acquisition manager of the Philadelphia Eagles. It's crazy that only 5 downloads separate those two interviews, because we're talking in pretty big numbers and to only have 5, that little sliver separating them is kind of cool. Second side note, because I have to counterbalance things and say, hey, this is good and this is bad. The least popular episode, again, I get into this sort of stuff, so you guys might be interested too, is a QA session where I talked about the career benefits that stem from being a student athlete. I thought it was a pretty good episode, but it fell totally flat with you guys, like thousands less downloads than the two mentioned above. So I don't know. It's a little interesting for me to learn that. I kind of looked at it and thought, man, there's like, I don't know, 60,000 Division I or just college athletes out there. I thought that would be hit a good market, but all right, maybe not. All right, let's get back on topic. So a minute into my conversation with Sam, I knew I had hit gold. Sam Doerr, who we were talking about before. I could tell immediately he had the experience. He was well articulated. He wasn't going to be somebody that just spouted off cliches. His first impression was spot on. I really loved when he said that he could make a determination on a candidate within 8 to 10 seconds. And Ariel, I realize I gave you kind of the heebie-jeebies, but I resonated with that because I feel the exact same way. And I know 80% of the people in charge of hiring also feel that way, and the other 20 just don't want to admit it. So think about this for a second. Think about why this happens. You only got a phone call or the in-person interview because you already checked off all the boxes and had the right skills to do the job. So you passed through the initial filter. You never get a callback or an invite for an interview if you don't have the skills they need. So essentially they're saying, I already knew this person coming in could do the job. Now all I have to do is make sure that they fit here with me, working with me and with our culture, and they're going to have those right characteristics. So the interview part, that's all about who you are. Sure, you're going to have to prove yourself again. You're still going to have to talk about your biggest challenges and your fears and where you see yourself in 5 years and some of those cliche questions. But essentially, in a way, you've already won the opportunity. You've already proven you have the skills. Now it's about proving you're the right person. So if you're going to do that, you see, you know, you have to think about that first impression moment. When you see, think about this for a second. You're not doing the interviews, but you're just a person. When you see other people out there on the street or around campus, you mentally categorize people within seconds. All the people you see, you mentally figure out who they are and where they fit in your life. Sometimes you're attracted to them. Sometimes you're drawn to them for some other reason. Sometimes you're attracted for them for some reason. Sometimes you feel they're a fit in your personality, your vibe. We all do it. And according to research, that all happens in the first 7 seconds of seeing or meeting somebody, right? You're at a party, you look around, you see people that are like you, you see people that aren't like you, you see people you're drawn to, you're making categorizations. Same things happen during interviews. You're judged for the match within that group, that tribe, almost immediately. And I think it's kind of obvious that part one of all this is appearance. Now, let's be clear here. Appearance is not the same as attractiveness. I won't be naive and say attractiveness never plays a role, but really what we're talking about is appearance, and that's different. Now, let's circle back for one quick second. Attractiveness. That gets you an initial notice, but if you can't hold up to the rigors of the job or you can't get through the questioning, that won't last. But your appearance is very important because then that counter that works in conjunction with their perception of your ability to do the job, right? So appearance, in my view, is both physical and mental. Are you dressed the part? Are you clean shaven? Are you well manicured? Those are all physical things, right? Anybody should be able to nail that. But there's a mental appearance too. Do you appear confident? Do you make eye contact? Do you smile? Yes, these are all physical manifestations, but they emerge from your mental state and they're very important. That's a feeling thing. Those things happen because of the way you feel. But let's try to break this down based on some available data that has been researched into these first impressions. I got about 5 things that I think are really important about first impressions. The appearance is kind of an overarching thing, but these are more specialized, more exacting things. Number one, the most important thing you can do is really simple. It's smile. It's the easiest thing you can do. Just make eye contact and smile and just do it. I mean, really, what's the problem here? But here's the data behind it. 48% of all Americans feel that a smile is the most memorable feature after first meeting someone. That's what they remember. So the simple smile is your first like gateway thing. That's the first thing you need to stay together with and think about. The second thing is that you need to stay in the moment. Here's what I mean by that, because I know that sounds probably kind of hippy dippy to you. Do you know why people don't smile? Sure, sometimes they may be in a bad mood, but in the interview world that we're discussing, people don't smile because they're thinking ahead. What if they ask me this? Or what if they question that? Or what if they don't like the way I look? Or what? You're worried about what's ahead. We all get so worried about what might be coming that we mess up the state that we are in, the position we are in that moment. So stay present. Feel your feet grounded on the floor and know you are in this moment. Sure, that may sound like I'm being kind of a Buddhist, but that is my nature, at least now. I used to be one of those people that flew around trying to make things happen in every second of the day. You know, I never enjoyed the moment because I was always searching for the next moment. I say all this and it reminds me of the Football Life documentary on Jerry Rice. His teammate at one point, Deion Sanders, who we all know and get our, I don't know, entertained by, at least I am, Dion said of Rice, quote, he never enjoyed the ride. And when I was young, that makes a lot of sense to me. I was so focused on achievement that actually enjoying the achievement seemed superfluous. But as I have aged, I try more than ever now to be present in this moment, enjoy it for what it has in store, and only move on to the next moment when I'm ready. So in your interview process, the same thing has to happen. Don't worry of what's happening ahead of you. You may be wasting time worrying about something that never happens. So don't sacrifice the now for the unknown. Focus on all these little details. When you're meeting somebody in that first impression, if you're thinking three steps ahead, you know what you're not doing? You're not smiling. You're not making eye contact. You're not having a good handshake. You're not making that right moment and that right impression. Master the first moment. Okay, tip number three, speak clearly. Unless you are a wizard whose otherworldly skills in some area will far outweigh the need for diction and articulation, you're going to have to come off personably. Remember, this person who will eventually recommend you for a hire will have to answer to their boss for the choice to hire you. If you can't come off well and handle yourself in the room, they're going to worry you'll make them look bad. True story. I was interviewing people for a position once, and I had someone in with all the right skills in the world, but there was literally zero personality. I knew they could do the job. Heck, they were a machine. They could have done the job with their eyes closed and just nailed it every time. But I didn't feel confident I could bring this person in front of my boss and say, here's my guy. I could see my boss looking at me and saying, are you nuts? Like, this is really who you think is going to be the right answer? So you know what? I ended up hiring somebody else with 80% of the skill, but 100% more personality and cultural fit. Speak clearly. Now, there's going to be nervousness, and some of that will be allowed, but you have to be able to express yourself, your wants, your desires, your attributes, your fit, because no one else is going to do it for you. Your guardian angel isn't going to swoop in and say, what Ariel really meant to say was, or don't forget about this, Ariel. Remember that time you did this? Nope, you're on your own. You're going to be doing this on your own, and you have to be able to nail that, because if you don't show that you have the right personality, you're not only going to worry them that you are a cultural fit for the entire group and the rest of your coworkers, but you're also going to worry them that they can bring you to their boss and say, yep, this is my hire. Number four, make eye contact. It's funny, as a guy throughout my life, I've focused on the handshake a lot. But one thing I've realized about myself is that I was often looking at someone's hand to make sure I gave them a good handshake, rather than making solid eye contact. Now, here's my big paranoia at play. This is where I'm going to take you in the psyche of me. I'm sure other people feel this, though. I do not think I'm alone on this. It's the early handshake grab. Okay, so you reach out to shake someone's hand, but they squeeze down before solid contact has been made, before palms make contact. They basically grip your fingers or kind of like across your knuckles instead of latching of palms. And honestly, this is my nightmare. I hate this moment because you can't have a good handshake if someone grips your fingers. And my dad always drilled it into my head. A firm handshake is the most important impression you can make, for most important first impression. So when that happens and I feel like somebody kind of gripped my fingers and I didn't get a good, you know, solid grip in there, it like totally freaks me out. And I worry about the impression I'm making. Like they're going to think I'm some, I don't know, wimp. I don't even know what it would be, but whatever. It worries me. This actually happened to me just the other day. And of course, another side note, my buddy Tony owns a HVAC company and we needed a new hot water heater. So he came over and replaced it. Now Tony's a big guy and he's got hands like a gorilla, but I'm a pretty good sized dude. I've been known to pick up some weights and put them down. So I'm going to make sure that my handshake is on par. Like this guy, big guy, gorilla, carries around water heaters on his shoulder. I don't want him to think I'm, you know, I can't compete. So I go in for the strong handshake and he squeezes too early. He grabs my fingers. And in my mind, all I could think of is like my handshake now appears weak. Like he's looking at me like, wimp. The rest of the day, all I could think about is that when he leaves, when he's done with the job, I'm going to nail the handshake. I am going in there full bore. I am going to latch in there. He's going to feel my Cobra Khan grip. Oh, and it happened. Nailed it later in the day. But really, anyway, outside of Tony in the business world, I've adjusted my technique over the last 10 years. I'm now all about the eye contact. The handshake will naturally work itself out, and very rarely you're going to have somebody go in for the early grip. And even still, you're not having a over the top, you know, arm wrestling battle with people in the business world. You're trying to make a good impression, and you do that through eye contact. So it's a long way of me getting around the story, but eye contact is a sign of confidence. Eye contact and a smile, now you're a freaking Jedi. Okay. Number five, take charge a little bit. It exudes confidence. So one of my bosses, let me explain this. One of my bosses, who was the GM at Fox Sports Northwest when I was the news director and a guy I looked up to very much, he'd go into every situation and he'd go around introducing himself to people. He wouldn't wait for the moment. He'd go take the moment. So, for example, we'd be in like the suite at a Mariners game, and it would be full of various people. And most of the time it was like clients of the salespeople. So all the salespeople would get access to the suite. They'd bring in their, you know, the guy from the local Toyota station or whoever else. And so it's a mishmash of people in there. You schmoozing and doozing and whatever else. And, you know, the GM and I would be able to go sit in the suite and hang out. But he would walk up to everybody and say, "Hi, I'm Mark Shukin. Great to have you here." And he just had this eye contact about him and his delivery about him. And you knew he was the guy in charge. If you looked around and you didn't know anybody in there, you'd assume he was the man. And he just had this aura about him and the way he delivered things with confidence. And the same thing can happen in an in-person interview. Make eye contact, smile, stick out the hand for the shake, and declare, "Hi, Brian Clapp, great to meet you." Boom, you're kind of in charge. You're in that rhythm now. That's simple, understated power. And yes, that was me snapping. I guess I just got into a rhythm there. I do this in all instances now, whether it's a school board meeting or a business conference. I use the power within myself to give out an aura. Be the aggressor, introducing yourself to anyone you think warrants it. So that's it. That's the art of the first impression. Because after that first 7 seconds and you've made that impression and you've done all those things, the smile, the handshake, the eye contact, the being present and really thinking about what you need to do in that moment. Now, after that 7 seconds, it's in your hands to keep the momentum going forward. But that's another podcast. We'll talk about that another time. Thank you for your question, Ariel. I'll be sending you a free month at workinsports.com, which if I haven't mentioned lately, is the number one job board for the sports industry. For real. Voted on by real people like you. Our system works. Over 7,000 available sports jobs from thousands of different employers of all sizes and locations. We're literally your one-stop shop for jobs in the sports industry. And I'm Brian Clapp, the director of content. So I'm done. I hope everybody has a good weekend, and I'll talk to you guys on Monday.